Hello! And
well, oh my God, we're goofy. Yeah, we're goofy now.
This is the Last Temptation of Homer. 1F07 for all you people that like meaningless numbers. Original air date December 9th, 1993. I'm Dave Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
This is Matt Groening, cartoon boy.
This is David Silverman, supervising director boy.
This was a really amazing episode. This is a lot of fun.
That was one of the craziest solos that Lisa ever did. I actually don't even really remember that. This, again, I've mentioned it once before. I was a big fan of Letterman, had moved to NBC, and we were trying to be very supportive with him. So that was a little thumbs up to Dave there.
Nice.
People do love this episode. They come up to me on the street. They don't know who I am, usually robbing me. But they mentioned in the course of that they love this particular episode. I think Entertainment Weekly just listed it as one of the very best. But it was a lot of work.
Yes, it was.
It was. And there was a lot of worries about it as we did it because, you know, again, as we mentioned before, we have these screenings, which are really helpful because everybody comes in and they watch the animatic and they watch the color. And for various reasons, the animatic and the color screenings of these things did not get our usual amount of laughs. And that sometimes happens. Some of it had to do with the fact that because there are very subtle performances in here, that the animation had to be exactly right. And Mr. Silverman, sitting to my right here, if you can see him, he did so much work on this, along with the director, Carlos.
Carlos Beza did a great job, and Frank Mueller, who wrote the script, did a great job, too.
Yeah. That's right. But it was such a group effort from the very beginning. The idea was, the story is my story, coming to The Simpsons. This was always one of my goals, which was to do a story where Homer was really, really tempted away from Marge and to study that and study that aspect of character. What happens in that situation when we're saying that Homer's a good guy, when a good guy truly finds himself attracted to someone else, which happens and particularly happens in the work environment. And you spend a lot of time with
someone. That's on The Simpsons a lot.
Yeah, it happens on The Simpsons a lot.
No,
I
don't think the guys are.
The guys aren't, you know, big with the women, you know, on The Simpsons. But you know, we had this episode that Matt wrote where Homer became the manager for Yurlene, and she had a big crush on him, but he wasn't really completely aware of that. But this was something where right away he is incredibly attracted to Mindy. And that was a great exploration to see what would happen in that particular case. The details of our miraculous escape, but we desperately need a. And of course, we get into it in a very bizarre way, which is we find out that the emergency exits are actually just painted on the walls. And of course, Homer's idea of a joke is to make a guy drop a radioactive poison beaker and most likely die. This is a little future prediction of our relations with the Mideast here. This is where instead of Burns putting someone through the floor, we thought it would be interesting if he gets sucked up and where it would actually bring him, and the tube brings him into this, yes, Arab country where he has to dance.
Very nice poses, I want to say, on Mr. Burns, particularly the fingers. Very. Oh, I remember the money fight.
I think that was my joke, the money fight.
Yes.
And again, you know, you think of a joke like that, it's okay, but it's the little explosions of money done by the animators that really make it funny. And it's something I didn't picture, you know, in coming up with that, and then it gets so much better. And again, you see what the collaboration is so good. I forget who named Zootroy, but it's just a fantastic unknown foreign name, I think. I just, like, love it. That plane crashed on my property. Look, Mr. Burns. We want to see some. And this is typical the way we structure a first act that isn't about the main story, that's really about something else, and then the main story kind of sneaks its way in. Get back to work, Stuart.
That's a very obedient duck.
It is a great duck and a great.
I like that sign gag. That's a good one.
Bart has an interesting transformation here coming.
Yes.
It's a great transformation. I love that the tube almost takes Marge until he realizes that she can pay.
Tube gets a lot of work. Condition called lazy
eye, where one eye is. This is a situation where we really could do B stories. Menachem Begin works. These days, I have to say, on The Simpsons, it's much harder to do multiple stories because our time for the episodes has been cut. You know, as they add more commercials in commercial television, the amount of time we have to tell a story or to put jokes into that story gets cut down. And you need a certain amount of time to properly tell a story. And it becomes more and more of a struggle. We've probably lost about almost 2 minutes since this episode was done. And that can really be a whole B story in there. So here's a great B story where Bart becomes a nerd, and that's Dan doing the Jerry Lewis.
This is Dan doing the Jerry Lewis.
Yes, just for that one thing. We had a discussion. Was his voice going to be like this for the whole episode? No, just for that one little joke. Because the throat spray was very acute at the moment, but then it goes away.
Not that I ever did.
It's like things do in cartoon universes.
It's great. It's great to have that kind of freedom.
Hi. How's it going?
Oh, that's Mindy, and that the voice that says, hi, how's that going, is one of the most beautiful women in the world, Michelle Pfeiffer. I'm not going to pull any punches on that. That's absolutely true. She came in, and she was annoyingly stunning, let me put it that way. You know, I figured, well,
all the writers showed up for the record that day.
There were a lot of people that showed up for that record. And,
oddly enough.
You know, these are people that are professionals, and they see a lot of famous people. When Michelle came into the room, she was, and they're usually very cool, she was mobbed by a lot of energy because it really is an event when this woman walks into a room. I mean, I've seen a lot of famous actors and been around them. And Michelle Pfeiffer is on a different plane to either that. And
it's just not the same with ugly actors.
It's not. It's not the same at all. Ugly actors, people run the other direction. They don't want to touch them. But,
No, Michelle was luminous.
She was luminous, absolutely, and she didn't try, by the way. It wasn't that she was trying to look that way. The woman can't help it. And I had a director, and of course, because she was Michelle Pfeiffer, I was very nervous. Homer has some really great fantasies here.
the
cherubs return. You get a little,
you know,
nice,
we got
a,
there were a
nice
lot of Fox censor notes on this one, but not Lenny and Carl as naked cherubs.
They said don't spend too much time on the cherub's ass. I did. Oh, there was okay. A discussion about that.
Yeah, just a little.
A little. So Michelle actually was fairly nervous, as a lot of really actors with a lot of history and a lot of experience are, because they've never done animation. And I told her, I said, you're going to actually love this more than anything you've ever done because it is so calm and pleasant and we have so much time to play and experiment.
You're a very confident guy.
I was very confident, but that's really how I calmed her down because she was very nervous. And by the end of the session, she was pretty drunk. No. She really, really relaxed and we had a fantastic time. I think, is that a Jim Brooks model?
This is a very famous little scene.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Joey Jojo.
Yeah. Wasn't that a Jim Brooks design? It looked a little like him to me. Am I wrong?
I don't remember. Maybe it was.
It's similar. It's definitely. And Jim often hears his name at a bar and runs out crying. So it's similar in behavior as well.
I remember doing this. This is a very difficult design to do, as I recall.
How did you come up with that? That was on one of these bar napkins.
It was hard to do this and get everything.
I remember we sent that back about four times so that it would still be readable. So you see, all that long advice was all in the bar napkin.
Yeah.
So let's have a conversation.
Now, a lot of things we're talking about in the acting, Mindy shouldn't be flirty. She just is being herself, and that was a very important note that
that's
we were
correct.
Trying
in
to
the,
prove.
In the animatic, and even before that, in the design,
and
she was always
forward.
Being drawn flirty. I just want to say that sound to make Homer's sound to imitate Homer.
For her.
Very typical Michelle Pfeiffer, where Homer just drools. For Michelle to make that sound, she put broccoli in her mouth and water to get that sound. And it's just, she came in and all she ate all day was vegetables, you know, real healthy. And so even to make a drooling over a donut sound involved broccoli with Michelle Pfeiffer. So it was very bizarre.
Very disappointing.
It was very disappointing. And I tried to get her to eat donuts and she wouldn't. But yeah, all the early versions of this, almost no matter how many times we talked about it, we sometimes these things get lost in translation, came back with her being flirty. And the important secret of this story that I've always felt and was so important to me was that these are two good people, nice people, who are thrown into this situation and just can't help the fact that their libidos are going crazy upon seeing each other, and that they just happen to have an enormous amount in common. It's not even just a physical relationship and reaction to each other. There's a mental connection as well, and they just can't avoid each other. They keep getting thrown together in these exaggerated comic ways. And you see, she's as nervous as he is. She's not a seductress. And we had to get that acting right. And David really worked hard with the director and made sure that we got it right.
It's the name of the tower. Yeah, in the cooling tower, there's an elevator. It's one of those floors.
You know, everyone loved that joke, and I was the one that went around going, is that too crazy that there's an elevator in the cooling tower, and that's where they're leaving, and he slides, and everyone goes, no, it's great, and it is. People love it. But I was so nervous about that.
By the way, the one fish stick sort of tips over.
Another lovely old person bash. And this is just, you know, at the same time that Homer's being attracted by this, you know, seemingly perfect woman at work, you know, his wife could not be more imperfect. She's got a cold, and she has an ugly T-shirt because hers got messed up. So sort of everything is not working. He's trying to connect up with his family. And, of course, Bart looks like a nerd now, and so he can't really connect with his family in any way. We'll find out next. And then, of course, just the right things come on TV that encourages him to move around and screw around and flirt.
Which TV is always encouraging us.
It is, basically.
I know.
One of the sexiest montages we've ever done right there.
Yeah, that's right. Very sexy. A little too sexy, if you ask me. I don't know.
That's what it's a commercial for, examining your scalp for a moment. Now, this was another passion of mine was to have, well, it hasn't quite happened yet, but Homer asked for help.
Right.
And Sir Isaac Newton shows up, and Homer has no idea who he is. So the spirit has to remorph into somebody who I absolutely adore.
We all respect, I think.
Yes. Colonel Klink from Hogan's Heroes. There he is.
There he is.
And this was a huge show for me growing up. It's an insane show when you think about it.
Werner Klemperer,
such a lovely,
wonderful
lovely guy. You know, he played this nasty man on the show, and he couldn't be the nicer person in the world.
Right.
He was Jewish, and he made a deal that he would only play that character as long as Klink always lost. He actually made that deal.
I'm so happy, darling.
So when I was a kid and that show was on, they actually hired him to be the grand marshal of a local parade in Portland, Oregon, and there was a huge protest that you couldn't have a Nazi prison camp commandant.
And he's so the opposite of a Nazi, as I said. He fought against them, his family fought. And he was also a famous conductor. He's a great...
Yeah, Bruno Walter.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant musician as well.
Yeah.
Now, the great thing is that Werner was a fantastic sport to do this character. He had forgotten a lot of the things he did as Colonel Klink. So I had to do them. And then he would then...
And you had to get out your uniform.
I had to get... Well, I always happen to be wearing a Nazi uniform, but that's just me. That just happens to look good on me, the lines. You know? I don't know. Nothing else works. But
he couldn't do the...
He couldn't do Hogan.
Well, he did it.
He did it after I did it for him. And he asked me to. He said, would you do it for me? So I imitated him from the shows I watched growing up. And then he imitated me imitating him and got it exactly right. And like I said, the best sport in the world. I mean, you know, sometimes you don't want to do that with actors. You don't want to read the lines exactly for them or give them what's called a line reading. But Werner was asking for that because I wasn't giving him a line reading. I was just showing him what he used to do. That's all.
Yeah, sort of reminding him. But no, that was fun also animating the Homer. We had to really get
it. You did it perfect. I mean, you just really caught
it. By the way, the only thing I liked about Hogan's Heroes were the performances.
Yeah,
the premise of the show was vile.
It's hilariously bad.
It's bad.
Like, it's amazing. Yes. It's like
all
it's such bad taste.
All the performances are great.
Yeah, and yet you watch it, and it's like Matt was watching it. You still watch it because it sort of made everything okay, but
yeah.
It's so wrong.
No, it didn't. It was horrible.
But you were watching it.
Well, that's because I watched everything. I watched Petticoat Junction.
Which is even more vile. Yeah, you know what went on in Petticoat Junction. We don't want to talk about that. Oh, my God.
I don't know. I don't know how they could live with themselves every day.
You want to find out about Petticoat Junction, go to the Museum of Tolerance to get the true story.
That's right. It's all there. You can Google search it. It's all there.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of those things. It's all fine. This is
it's all good fun.
It's all good fun. We make fun of everything. I love these various hand jokes. And, of course, this guy has a giant hand. Again, a very difficult thing to get everything on there.
Right, exactly.
I had trouble with this joke. I mean, I had to admit it was funny. But
strange.
It was
yes.
very strange.
But arguably not any bigger than coming out of the tower and going down.
That's true.
Uncontrollably, I think.
It actually turns into a Buddhist chant right there.
Yeah.
For absolutely no reason we threw in a Buddhist chant, because we like to keep the show spiritual. You know, there's something for everyone in every episode.
Spirit of camaraderie.
I always love our pans across. Of course, Stuart the Duck is not fighting anyone.
I didn't think Stuart the Duck was that violent. As ducks go.
And, you know, Mindy not looking nearly as good as Michelle Pfeiffer. For our show, she did look pretty good. She looked...
Oh, yeah. Pretty hot.
She is pretty hot. And again, she did a great performance. By the end of the time, she was having such a great time. She had a brand new daughter at that point, and she was able to do some takes actually holding the baby while she was talking into the microphone, because she brought her daughter along, who was very well behaved, and she's actually at the microphone holding her daughter. She never got to act like that any other way, so she was really thrilled. You don't usually get to do that.
By the way, the line, Colonel Klink, why have you forsaken me, is one of my favorite lines in the history of the Simpsons.
I love this.
Every time he shows up, he starts talking about the show. Did you know that Kinch had a radio in the coffee pot? And actually, Klink goes, he did?
So great. Also, I love the line. Jim Ritter and I just thought the funniest line was, Colonel Klink, did you get my letters?
Yeah. He was writing Colonel Klink.
Mindy?
Homer?
And again, they're very similar.
Wow. If it weren't for
very similar tastes.
Yeah. Again, it's a comment on what an amazing, you know, we talked about how amazing looking Michelle Pfeiffer is, but she's one of our greatest actresses. She can do fantastic drama, fantastic comedy. She has a list of films like almost nobody else, and it runs a complete gamut. She's absolutely brilliant. And one of the things that's fantastic about a great actor like this is that you don't even have to see them. She does it with her voice. And Michelle is one of those people that even if she wasn't drop-dead gorgeous, you can hear from her voice what a brilliant, brilliant actor she is. And she's just as good as it gets. That's true. This is fantastic. You think that the Wizard of Oz monkeys are going to fly, but they have to continue the research. It hasn't quite worked.
That was a good joke.
I can't believe we ordered so much.
And again, her mouth is full of vegetables, my friend. She's not eating anything bad when she does those lines.
Or maybe...
Chili.
Uh-oh, well, there you go.
Nothing sexier than chili dog.
This took a lot of time to come up with the answer about, because we wanted the shirt to make the Marge noise, and it actually turned out it was a floor waxer that was making the Marge sound.
Hey, 2 weeks are up. You don't have to wear your glasses anymore. And your scalp.
I love every time she touches the scalp, there's that gushy sound. This is a nice one.
Did anyone pray for giant shoes?
It all worked out.
A lot of upper body work on Bart. Today, let's pound his kidneys.
I love that we do a lot of upper body work. And this again, you know, we take a triumphant moment and we just turn it into that you basically can't win no matter what happens. Whatever, get them anyway.
It's bullies.
I really do enjoy the violence. We never pull back on just how hard those kids are hitting and how painful that must be.
Well, we're just being true to how it is in the real world.
This is a very nice comment. All very true. Great performance by Hank. And then, look, Fossil Fuel use us and no one gets hurt. he takes his glasses off, the little thing. And this is what would happen if you had a nuclear power plant at an energy convention. And, of course, Homer has bricks handy to throw at people.
Which, you know, is a standard issue.
That joke, as seen on 60 Minutes, is like a staple joke of mine that I always say to people. They tell me they got a new car or something. I say, hey, I saw a car on 60 Minutes the other night. It looked really good. I do that all the time. Whatever they have, I always say I saw. So that we finally got it into the show.
Chinese restaurant in Capital City.
Is there any way to get out of this?
No.
Very angry.
And, you know, to also mention, Dan and Michelle were in the same room, as I think Hank was. I think most of our actors, we do it, as I've said before, like a radio show. So everybody can look into each other's eyes and really act together, you know, the way they act and get great performances. And we're talked a lot about how great Michelle is here, but this is also a fantastic performance by Dan Castellaneta, where he really is struggles, and it's very sweet and very moving in his performance. We see this as he gets to find happiness with a new love, so now they're going to open up the giant stick with your wife, but he's one away from that happening. Nice, David, the lighting here.
Okay. I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Can't fight fate.
Oh, yeah, like you don't know.
And this is a really lovely performance with Homer.
Well, we don't have to.
I had to give very little direction in this very complicated scene. I mean, Michelle, I remember she hit it really well, and all we really did was do it several times to let it get more and more real. But there was very little direction. She completely understood it and played it perfectly.
Maybe I want to. But then I think about Marge and the kids. Well, not the boy. He drives me nuts. Sometimes I just like to...
Homer.
There was a lot of room work on the script because these are such... It's funny, when we get very intimate, everybody has different feelings and opinions, and so we really try and take everything into account, and it sort of becomes kind of a group effort at that point. I love when Homer says that the cookies have to be right because they're so sweet.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this is a really, really sweet ending. That again, I was sort of my idea to show that, the best love is the one you're with. And even when you're tempted on the outside, there's nothing that could really replace, you know, a full thing that you already have going.
Yeah,
keep that in mind, people. That's the point of the show.
Absolutely.
So we're sitting here recording this on the Marge Simpson stage. And I'm reading, there's graffiti written on this microphone stand here. Beware the wrath of Papel. It's all about... It's all about Peggy Hill.
we'll do. There'll be a whole special thing on microphone stand for graffiti.
This says Bam was here. Yeah,
while Oceans Rock.
All right.
Here. Sorry, but
no, that's fine. We lost the whole meaning of the episode, but yeah, let's read some more of that. I want to say we had a great ending with Hank as the bellhop there who made all those annoying noises. And Hank worked really hard to go right through the script and make the one noise after another. I might have edited them together a little even tighter than he could do it, but it's still a great, great performance there. And thanks to Michelle and Dan Castellaneta for that, and David Silverman is his great assistance on the direction there.
Thank you very much. By the way, I think that was a joke that was at the end, the final joke.
Probably was.
Yeah,
probably was added
animatic,
very
yes.
late to have to make it a little bit funny at the end. And
yeah.
The eyeballs glowing in the dark is one of the things that we always do in the show, that I really enjoy that.
And we enjoy it, too, because it's just so darn easy to animate.